next speaker is Sarah Schrader from University of Montana.
Please. It's actually all of us.
Hi.
The team has various representatives.
My name is Jeremy Lee. So, yeah, there's five names here you'll see, and all of us are going to speak in true collaborative fashion. So, you'll see that. Our presentation is titled Developing and Archiving Open Source Blackfoot Tiki Materials. The goal of our project is to help fill the void in accessible Blackfoot Tiki materials. And our presentation is going to follow this format. First, we'll provide some background on the Blackfoot language and our team. From there, we'll talk about our current project, its creation and design, followed by the formats our project has taken, challenges we face, and teamwork. From there, we'll hear from the our native speaker and instructor and her experiences using our project and class modification. And then we'll hear some student feedback and the perceived effectiveness of our project, followed by summary and implications. Now to turn it over to Mizuki to talk about the background.
Thank you, Jeremy. The Blackfoot language belongs to the Algonquian language family, spoken in Alberta, Canada, and Montana, United States. So this is the northwest Montana and southern Alberta. Most speakers are members of the Blackfoot Confederacy, consisting of four different tribes. The three are in Canada, up here near Calgary. It's hard to see on this map. Siksika and Kainai and Apatsipikani, and another one, the last one, is in the United States, Amtskapipikani. There are variations across regional groups and also generations, but they are all mutually intelligible. According to Ethnologue, the speaker population in Canada are about 4,500, which is about 30% of the enrolled members. And in the United States, about 100 speakers identified, and which is about 1.3% of the enrolled members. And age-wise in Canada, most of the speakers are 50 years old or older, in the United States, 80 years old or older. As one of their revitalization efforts, the language has been taught in schools. For example, across borders, great school students are learning cultural heritage with Blackfoot language words and phrases in public schools. And in Montana, there's a semi-immersion program, Blackfoot School, established by Tigan Institute on the reservation, and Blackfeet Community College, also on the Blackfeet Reservation, offers several semesters of Blackfoot. And finally, University of Montana started offer Blackfoot language class about 2 years ago. And we are from University of Montana, and one of our goals is to help the class developing teaching materials. And this is us, Blackfoot Language Group, or BLG. Our aim is to create and disseminate materials for teaching and research in the Blackfoot language. And this is me, Mizuki, the director. I'm responsible for this. And from linguistics program, language supervisor is Annabelle Chassis right here. Blackfoot native speaker and the instructor of the class. From our Native American studies and our graduate students. In MA linguistics program, Jeremy Lee, Sarah Schrader, Shiho Yamamoto, they are all here, and two other members, first year students, Jackie Van Buren and Rebecca Yours, who won't be able to be here today. Okay. Next, Jeremy is going to talk about our current project.
Okay. So, our current project is a direct attempt at helping to address some of the need for Blackfoot teaching materials by creating some of our own. We decided that whatever form our project took, we wanted it to have several formats. And any digital format would be open source and available to anyone. So we decided upon a picture book for beginning Blackfoot learners. This consisted of creating an original short story in Blackfoot, accompanied with original artwork. Then we had a native speaker, Annabelle, read the story aloud, which we recorded, and then synthesizing those parts together. Of course, there's other projects doing similar, some kind of similar things in conservation and revitalization efforts. Here are a couple that have at least a digital component similar to what we're doing. You can check these out later. This is a photo of Sarah, Shio, and myself creating the artwork. For the design of the project, we really wanted it to be something that was eye-catching and would be appealing to learners, something they'd want to pick up and use. So to that end, instead of using typical drawn pictures, we decided to go with handcrafted paper, handmade paper-crafted artwork. It gives it kind of a three-dimensional look. For the choice of characters and environment, we tried to be as sensitive to Blackfoot cultural traditions as possible. So we ended up having to throw out some initial ideas, like having a bear character or an owl. And then lastly, with an eye towards detail, we really wanted the pictures to be full of lots of colorful, fun things to be able to be used for different kinds of lessons. For example, topics of color, number, animacy, and vocabulary above and beyond what we explicitly have on each page. Here is the cover of the book, which is called Ponoka Kisitsi, which translates as elk and little bird. There's the elk and the little bird. Very adorable. This is an interior page. I won't butcher the Blackfoot with my pronunciation of the sentence, but this translates roughly as this elk is walking. You can tell by the paper the way it's cut, it kind of has a three-dimensional look. How the elk's kind of out. This is Sarah's favorite picture. And now I will turn it over to Sarah to talk about the formats and challenges.
So the book is available in three formats, which we believe will make it available for more users. One is the physical book, which I'll pass around. You can take a look at it. Each page has, like Jeremy was saying, paper-crafted artwork on it with sentences in Blackfoot, simple sentences on each page. There are English translations in the back of the book. We expect this to be used mostly in classrooms, and it has been used in one classroom so far. But it has certain advantages as far as being low-tech, a lot of people can use it. It's tangible, something tangible, which appeals to some learner types. And then also, we have the book in a digital form, if you want to click on that link. This is available on the BLG website, so being online is one advantage. Anywhere. And there's one major advantage to this is that it's accompanied by controllable sound files. So they are controllable. we think this can also be of use in classrooms as a supplement, but teachers could also assign this to students to go to on their own time, and they can read the sentences and practice pronunciation and then listen to Annabelle's recitation of them and make sure that they're checking the pronunciation. And each page, you can see, you can kind of view it as a slideshow. So if you go to the website, you can see that. Currently, our other members are working on animating the pictures using Flash animation, which we think will open it up to a variety of lessons, including like spectral expressions. Everything that we've made is also available in our digital archive. So for materials, all of the materials that have been made in production, the artwork, the sentences, the sound files are all available. The artwork can be printed off and bound. The sentences can be printed off separately if needed. And we really want to encourage people who are teaching a language, even if it isn't Blackfoot, to use our artwork and make your own sentences or own lessons from it, because sometimes that might help just to have something to go off of on your lessons. So this did not come without its challenges. One major challenge is that we're faced with the lack of time. That's an extracurricular activity separate from our coursework, and the project can take a lot of time. And furthermore, we're graduate students, so we're going to only be at the University of Montana for 2 years. Which doesn't give us a lot of time to get a lot of projects done, so we need to narrow our focus on to maybe just a couple of projects. Another challenge is that there's, as Mizuki mentioned, there's language variation due to generation or regional differences, and we settled on using the reference form of the language, which is available in Don Franz's grammar book and also the Blackfoot Dictionary. But when we decided to make sentences for the books, we found that it wasn't just as simple as thinking of a sentence in English and then translating it into Blackfoot. going back to the time constraints, because we were only there for 2 years, we had to start this project when we were also taking Introduction to Linguistic Analysis. So the terms like animacy, obviation, inverse direct markers were pretty intimidating to us. And you can see here, this is what Blackfoot looks like. One difference here, this is a sentence that we used in our book, this elk is brown. So for when we were creating the sentence, something brand new to us was that what we usually think of as an adjective, brown, is actually expressed as a verb in Blackfoot, which means to agree in animacy and number. So if we were talking about a branch, this would be a different word here. It'd have some different morphology. Second sentence here is one that we haven't used yet. We didn't have this in the book, but it's just another example of how Blackfoot is different from English or the other languages that we were each individually familiar with. Usually, if you think about a preposition, it's connected with a noun. But again, in Blackfoot, it's connected to the verb. So it was quite different for us. But luckily, even though we don't have our own intuitions about the language, we have a native speaker to work with, and I guess I'll let her talk about her experience working with us.
Okay. Nitaniko Reiskimaki. Nisto Kanaki. Tsikapsipiki nitto to amo with that verso. Iksukapiki desksinimatsuman staples. Hello, my name is Annabel Chassis. My Indian name is Many Metals Woman, and I'm from Kainai. I currently teach at the University of Montana as a Blackfoot instructor, and the class size is approximately 20 students per semester, and it's in its second year currently, and it's still under construction. When I graduated with my BA, I wasn't in any shape or form thinking of teaching my native language. I was going to go in a different direction, but the Native American Studies approached me and asked me if I would teach the Blackfoot language at a university level. Now, I did think about it, and it was a challenge because I wasn't prepared. There was nothing there for me to readily teach it. But I asked a colleague of mine, Ms. O'Keefe, who I was working with at the time on a different project, if she would help me design a curriculum to teach a university-level Blackfoot language program. And that's what we did. Given that we were given such short notice, we really had to scramble to get this done. So what we did was we gathered information from Apskabi Biganiks, Siksika, and Gainai, and what material that they had available was all geared towards grade school, so there was nothing that I could use constructively to teach at a university level. So we designed it. We had to design it all from scratch. One of the challenges that I experienced in doing this was that the lack of material. There just wasn't any material available. There was a little bit, but not anything I could really develop a curriculum with. Once we had gotten our course material together, we just started applying it as much as we could. But then I got an opportunity to work with the students here, the BLG students, and was able to be introduced to this book that they designed or we worked on, and I was able to use that in the classroom. And it turned out really good. The book was easy to handle. It was bright. It was colorful. The students really liked it. And I was excited about using it. And I was also able to apply a lot of my lesson towards that one book, teaching them about not only what was in the book, but also about the different inanimate and animate uses of the words. I haven't used the digital version of the book yet, but that's what I'm planning on doing in one of my semesters. I found the students received it really well. The students found it easy to read, and they commented that they would use the book with their families. So that was really encouraging. And I also used it, or introduced it to my grandson, who doesn't speak Blackfoot, but was really ready to read it, and he picked it up really good, really fast. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Shinho, and she will talk about the evaluation that we got from the students.
Thank you, Anila. So we observed Annabelle's elementary Blackfoot class taught by the University of Montana, and we observed how she incorporates that picture book into her class. And at the end of the class, we conducted a survey for the student and to get student feedback. So here are the statements that students evaluated, and they can be categorized into four different categories. First, content, which is artwork and design and story. Second one is learning effectiveness. Third, format. And then fourth one is student interest, that includes their enjoyment and preference over learning materials. 12 students participated to this survey, and they were asked to answer 1 through 5 points. And one indicates highly disagree, and then 5 indicates highly agree. And according to the graph, students were satisfied with content and interest. That means they really enjoyed learning from this picture book, and they are looking forward to seeing more materials like that. However, there is room to improve for format and effectiveness. As for format, a few students mentioned that lamination made it hard to see because of the glare in the classroom. So we could get rid of that and then print on a thicker paper instead for further projects. And as for learning effectiveness, students really asked for more intellectual challenge. So we can improve this by enhancing our sentence level and creating more like learning supplements, or integrating more learning units like weather, color, numbers, as Jeremy mentioned, to make it more effective. Now I'm gonna hand it over to Jeremy, and he's gonna wrap it up.
Okay. So in summary, faced with a shortage of accessible and appropriate teaching materials, as is the case with many endangered languages, we set out to create some of our own, along with a native speaker and instructor of the Blackfoot language. For this project, we decided to find a picture book, which took three forms, as Sarah mentioned, a physical book that many of you probably already saw, a digital book, and a digital archive. We feel that this project will be of use to both language learners as well as language teachers. Students benefit from the colorful and engaging materials, as well as the variety of learning styles that multiple formats allow for. While teachers benefit from having additional teaching materials that they can use in the classrooms without having to sacrifice their own valuable time and resources. Not ones to rest on our laurels, we've already started on additional projects. As Shiho just discussed, taking the student evaluation into account, responding to the needs of Annabelle as an instructor, we are creating additional picture books with more complex stories, additional characters and backgrounds. And along with the first year linguistics ride students at UM, as Sarah mentioned, we've begun animating the digital book, which makes it an even better learning tool, we feel. In closing, we wanted to stress the importance of collaboration to our project. As linguistics students without any firm knowledge of Blackfoot, we relied upon our understanding of linguistics and how languages work to create these teaching materials, and at the same time, we're able to further our understanding of linguistics through our involvement on this project. In addition, we were able to see and experience firsthand how linguistics knowledge can be applied to language revitalization efforts. This sort of reciprocal learning also applies to our native speaker member, Annabelle. By helping create these teaching materials, she was better able to envision other ideas for lesson plans and what kinds of teaching materials may or may not be desirable. Finally, by using her own knowledge of her native tongue to create these materials, Annabelle is better able to understand the underlying structure of the languages and how best to teach it to others. References, and we'd like to mention these people here, or show you them, which this project wouldn't have been possible. Thanks a lot. Check out our website, the PLG website, for the archive and stuff, and feedback. Okay.
planning board